You're listening to Caring Connections with Nicole Bruno, supported by HomeWatch Caregivers, whose mission is to preserve dignity, protect independence, and provide peace of mind for their clients and their loved ones by providing exceptional home care.
News Talk 1360 WCHL is pleased to present Caring Connections with your host, Nicole Bruno. Nicole has over 15 years of experience as a geriatric social worker and administrator, working in the long-term care industry to include skilled nursing care, Alzheimer's care, adult daycare, and home care. She also worked as a family caregiver. In addition, Nicole co-founded a nonprofit in the Triangle that specializes in support for caregivers. And now, Caring Connections.
Thank you for joining us today for this episode of Caring Connections on 1360 WCHL. Today we will be discussing the difference between home health and private duty home care. Joining us today is Krista Flair, registered nurse and certified senior advisor and service supervisor for HomeWatch Caregivers of the Triangle. HomeWatch is a family-owned and operated private duty home care company with offices in Chapel Hill and Cary. Prior to involvement at HomeWatch, Krista worked as a nurse in the home health and as a director of nursing in assisted living. She is also currently involved in a community group, Community Connections, that focuses on improving transitions in healthcare. Welcome, Krista.
Thanks so much for having me, Nicole.
Well, I'm really excited to talk about this topic today because there is a lot of confusion out there between home health and home care and what is what. And I just think it needs to be discussed, and I think people need to have a better understanding of what the differences between the two types of organizations are. The first thing that I want to talk about were some of the top 10 things that you brought to light that people don't realize exist between home health and home care. So one of the things that you brought to mind was that home health is skilled services, whereas home care is non-medical assistance. Could you talk to me a little bit about the difference between what a skilled service is and a non-medical services?
The skilled services include skilled nursing, which would be things like dressing changes and monitoring blood sugars and things like that, physical therapy, occupational therapy, speech therapy, and once in a while social work will come in.
Okay.
And these are the things that are paid for by Medicare.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And so home care?
Home care is the non-medical end of the care spectrum. And they in this area, what they do is bathing, dressing, grooming, assistance with meals, medication reminders, things of that sort.
So non-medical, though. So who
non-medical.
Provides this? Are there medical people that provide the service?
Well, they're provided by certified nursing assistants and companions, depending upon the level of care required.
So I think one of the things that people get confused about is that the certified nursing assistants can work for a skilled nursing home health organization, yes?
Yes, they can.
So is the difference basically licensure or?
Yeah, it's the level of care that that the state allows for the different either skilled or non-skilled. It depends upon what venue they're working in, what they're allowed to provide.
Okay. So how does home health get paid for, the skilled care?
Skilled care is mostly paid for by Medicare. On occasion, you will see Medicaid pay for this. On occasion, you will see the Veterans Administration pay for this. And very, very rarely, you will see regular health insurances pay for this. It requires prior approval.
Okay. So, and home care is paid for?
And home care, which is the non-medical end of things, is paid for mostly privately. But you do have long-term care insurance. You can also get once in a while, very rarely again, paid for by regular health insurance with prior approval. And sometimes vocational rehab, workman's compensation, those sorts of things.
All pay for
the non-medical end of things.
The private duty and
Medicaid. Medicaid does as well, but Medicare does not pay for the non-medical end of the care spectrum.
So I think that's often a confusing point when people think they want in-home care that Medicare is going to cover it.
Exactly.
But it does not.
That's a common misconception, yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So How long does home health care, skilled care, stay in the home? How does that work? Are they there 4, 6, 8, 24 hours a day?
Well, it depends. The home care is an episodic thing. Usually there is a precipitating incident, such as a fall or an exacerbation of a condition, such as congestive heart failure. And Medicare has very strict rules as to how long for each episode they're able to stay in, involved with the client. And mostly what you'll see is the nurse comes in or the physical therapist comes in to do an admission, and they determine, depending upon the situation, how long they're going to be able to continue to provide services.
Okay. And then with in-home private duty care, how does that work?
With in-home private duty care, and if they're paying privately, there's no limit to what they're able to provide.
So they can have someone there 24 hours a day?
Absolutely. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But minimum, I mean, can they be there for 20 minutes or?
Well, it depends on the agency.
Okay.
And it seems like probably the very least that you'll see is 2 hours per visit.
Okay.
Most agencies have a 3 to 4 hour per visit minimum.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And so talk to me a little bit about home care under Medicaid. I think, you know, for people to be able to afford to pay for in-home care, is it a rather costly?
Well, Medicaid is very restricted in what it will pay for, and it's determined by the state nurses that come out to assess as well as the doctor's order. Private duty through personal care services is very limited. They only allow, according to the assessment, maybe an hour and a half to maybe 3 hours a day.
Okay.
Medicaid also has a program by the name of CAP, and that's Community Alternatives Program, which
okay.
is state-funded but run by each county.
Okay.
And so the counties kind of operate just a little bit differently from each other, and you know, you have to contact them.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So can you just walk me through a typical person that you might see and how a skilled nursing home health visit might help them, like a typical case?
Well, typical cases that you'll see are coming out of maybe a hospital or a nursing home with
okay.
orders from the admitting physician there.
Okay.
And they assess the need for one of the skilled services.
Okay. Say, for example, someone just had a hip fracture and
exactly.
they're coming home.
And maybe they're coming
they
home from rehab.
See? Yeah.
What that will happen usually with someone like that is often people that have had a hip fracture will be at risk for blood clots. So a nurse will be coming out doing blood draws. That will be episodic. They also may have had surgery, which may require dressing changes.
Episodic meaning 20-minute visit?
Well, depending upon the level of care. But, yes, in and out.
Okay,
depending
in and out.
Upon what
okay.
is necessary. And the physical therapist will be coming in for strengthening, exercises,
mm-hmm.
Occupational therapy because of the change in their mobility and their ability to perform their activities of daily living. They will be assessing for the need for occupational therapy.
Okay, well, hold that thought. We're going to take a short break. I'm here today with Krista Flair, RN and Certified Senior Advisor from Home Watch Caregivers, talking about the differences between home health and home care on 1360 WCHL. We'll be right back.
Caring Connections with Nicole Bruno on News Talk 1360 WCHL is supported by Homewatch Caregivers. And now, more of Caring Connections.
Welcome back. I am here today with Krista Flair, registered nurse and certified senior advisor from Homewatch Caregivers of the Triangle, talking about the differences between home health and home care on 1360 WCHL. And I'm your host, Nicole Bruno. Right before we took a break, Krista, you were talking to us just to give us all sort of an idea in our minds of the typical person who might receive home health. And you were talking about the person who had the broken hip and they're coming home from rehab and they may have a nurse coming in. And what are some of the other things that they could expect to happen?
They could also expect assistance from the personnel coming in, be that an RN or a physical therapist, to obtain equipment that might be necessary for mobility or hospital beds,
okay.
things of that sort. They can help set up a bathroom so that it's safe for the providing care.
Okay.
And once that is done, often they get to the place where everybody is comfortable and feels like it's a safe environment, and then once they get back to hopefully their baseline, the Medicare provider will pull out.
Oh, okay. So this is not something that goes on and on.
No, it is not.
How long typically would you say, you know, on average, for somebody who had a hip fracture, just using that as an example, they might expect to have home care in the home afterwards? I don't know. Everyone's so different. But just,
everyone is completely
different. I mean, could this
go
on for 6 months, or is it more... One month?
Doubtful.
Or?
It would be probably a couple of months. And it depends on how they progress.
Okay.
And whether or not they're cooperating with the plan of care.
Okay. Oh, so, yeah. Well, we all know what we need to do, and sometimes we don't do what we need to do.
That's exactly right.
So, yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. So, and home care, skilled care is available to anybody no matter age, correct? Home health. I mean, do they do home health on children as well as young adults and older adults?
They do if they are Medicare
eligible.
If they have Medicare to provide the care, and oftentimes if somebody is disabled or a child that is born with disabilities, they will have either Medicare or Medicaid services providing assistance with that, yes.
Okay, so let's talk for a few minutes about your typical home care client. I know that you work with Home Watch Caregivers of the Triangle.
Right.
Tell us sort of how that works and what the admission process is like for that and what a person could expect to receive from a home care company.
Normally what happens is if someone's interested in receiving care for a loved one or for themselves, they give us a call. Normally I will speak with them as the registered nurse about what is going on with their situation, what they need, what they may want going forward. And then once I've gathered up information, go out and meet with them. Once I've done the admission and we've set up services, then we'll hopefully choose the very perfect CNA to go in and provide services there.
Okay.
Typical clients really, really vary. There is no real typical client, but we have probably at least 50% of the people that we care for have some form of dementia or another on top of other things that may be going on.
Okay.
So we can provide care for them anywhere from 3 to 4 hours all the way up to 24 hours a day.
Okay. And so you picked out your perfect caregiver to go in the home.
Mm-hmm.
And they, what happens next?
They go in, and after a couple of visits, we try to get feedback from the client or their family about how things are working out. We have nurses that supervise. The state requires that we go and supervise every 90 days, but often with more complex cases, we go in way more often than that, sometimes as much as every couple of weeks to begin with, and then on a monthly basis if they're very complex cases. It really varies. We have some that are almost on autopilot because they're doing so well with the caregiver and their status is pretty much even keel.
So you mentioned that you care for individuals with Alzheimer's and dementia. What are some of the other diagnoses that a home care company might be able to help?
We take care of diabetics, and lots of diabetics, people with congestive heart failure or some form of heart disease.
Okay.
Post-operative hip replacements, knee replacements, children with disabilities.
Okay.
It's a wide spectrum of people that we're able to care for.
Okay. So there are so many different home care agencies. We are so blessed in the Triangle area with so many resources.
Absolutely.
And we truly are. But, you know, it can be mind-boggling for a family if they're looking to make a decision. How do I pick the right one? What are some of the things that you tell a family to look for when they're trying to choose a private duty home care agency or even a home health organization?
Yeah, almost everybody has a website now, which makes it very user-friendly to browse people's websites and get a feel for the kind of organization they are. I always urge people, even when they're calling us, to call other companies and get a feel, make sure that they have a good feeling about the person that they're talking with. Are they being upfront with you? Are they providing the information you're asking for? Are they giving you what you feel is accurate information? You know, you have to be your own advocate. And as a loved one of someone that needs care, or if you need care yourself, you have to be a very strong advocate and make sure that if you started with a company and you're not comfortable with them, you always have the option to leave that company and go to another one.
Okay.
So doing your research is very important.
So there's no contracts.
Well, I know with HomeWatch, we do have a service agreement.
Okay.
But the only thing that is holding you to anything is that we would ask that we get 24 hours notice if you need to stop services.
Oh.
So it's not a binding contract.
So you're not
having to do it
for year after year, month after month.
Actually, no.
Well, that's good. How about home health organization? Would you recommend the same kind of ways to decide on which one to use?
Yes, absolutely. And
is there anything else in particular you would want to look for home health, considering they're providing that skilled level of care?
Right, and you can go to some of the resources, like Medicare has a site that gives you information mm-hmm. about different organizations, and it's important that you do your research. And if you have friends that have had experiences with certain ones that are, and they've had a positive experience, it's certainly worth looking into them first, mm-hmm. Because personal experience is a great referral source.
So, considering that private duty in home care is unskilled, couldn't I just go to my neighbor and ask her to work for me on the side? What are some of the pros and cons with that scenario?
Pros is the familiarity with the person that's providing the care.
Right.
The con is, are they qualified to provide the care that okay. you're looking for? Is your payer source going to pay if you are getting care from a non-government agency endorsed location? That's one of the problems with long-term care.
Okay.
You need to vet people that are coming into your home. And one of the nice things about going with an agency is they've already done that vetting for you.
Okay.
They've checked with the DMV. They've checked with the CNA registry.
Okay.
Yeah, and also the agencies are able to check their criminal backgrounds,
okay.
and they should do that on a regular basis. So all of that vetting, checking their old employers, even if they were personal people that they have worked for, we do that as a background as well.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we are going to take a quick break. I'm here today with Krista Flair, registered nurse and certified senior advisor from Home Watch Caregivers, talking about the differences between home health and home care on 1360 WCHL, and we'll be right back.
Caring Connections with Nicole Bruno on News Talk 1360 WCHL is supported by Homewatch Caregivers. And now, more of Caring Connections.
Welcome back. I'm here today with Krista Flair from Homewatch Caregivers of the Triangle, talking about the differences between home health and home care on 1360 WCHL. And I'm your host, Nicole Bruno. Okay, Krista. So here's one of the things that I know I ran into when I was caregiving for my own grandfather. How in the world do you navigate this system? And is there anybody in the world out there that can help you?
There are people out there that can help. I often do that for people that are seeking our kind of services. I do try to pull in whatever resources are necessary for the care that they require, even if it doesn't entail my agency. I've done a lot of that in the last few years. But there are nurse care managers or case managers out there.
Geriatric care managers.
Mm-hmm. Some nurses, some not nurses, that can help you, because it's not a user-friendly system.
Sure.
And if you're not used to navigating it, it's very unuser-friendly.
Okay. So they can help you figure out payer sources.
Exactly. Department on Aging folks can also do that. Social workers.
And we have a great Department on Aging here in Orange County.
Orange County is truly blessed. It is a wonderful system there, and there are lots of really loving, caring people, and that's pretty much what you'll find throughout the system.
So, and I know another big issue, and I don't know if this falls more under the skilled care or if it falls under the non-medical care, but medication management. I remember with my grandfather, he took 20 different pills a day. I'm talking about prescriptions. If I counted the pills, I'm sure it'd be more than 30 or 40. Mm. And just for me to manage that, I actually created myself a sort of a med checklist that you would see in a facility, because that's how I could keep track of it, because it was just so much to keep track of. Is there anybody that can help with med management in the skilled or non-skilled care?
Yeah, most people don't have someone like you around to help with things like that, and it falls to the nurses. Oftentimes in North Carolina, the unskilled care level cannot, the CNAs cannot fill med boxes. It's against state regulations. But the nurses that are involved often can do that. Nursing in the skilled venue can also fill med boxes. One of the problems with medication is compliance. And if the compliance is poor, they often end up back in the hospital again. Mm-hmm. So we're trying to prevent rehospitalizations.
Okay.
The CNAs can make sure they take their medicines, which helps with the compliance end of things. Mm-hmm. And the accuracy of the boxes is also a compliance issue and is important, so that somebody that knows what they're doing, like a nurse or
right.
a family member that's savvy enough to handle it, can fill the medication boxes.
So you mentioned to me that you are part of a committee called Community Connections
yes.
here in Orange County. What is that all about?
Community Connections is a wonderful thing. It's a meeting of the minds with lots and lots of different people that are involved in healthcare in this area,
okay.
Orange and Chatham County in particular. And they come from all different levels of care.
Okay.
And so everybody's coming from a different place and has lots to offer.
And what's the point of the meeting?
The whole point of our committee is to talk about transitions in healthcare, and that could be something as simple as a transition from the emergency room to the floor
okay.
or from nursing homes back home.
Okay.
So and then lots of different levels of care are being addressed here because there are lots of snafus happen from
sure.
one place to the other.
So I would well imagine that the skilled care and the non-medical care are big parts of those transitions.
Yes, and they have to work together.
So let's recap here, make sure that I have my P's and Q's straight and everyone else listening does. Home health care, doctor-prescribed.
Doctor-prescribed.
In-home care, not unless Medicaid.
That's right.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Home health care provides skilled care. Home health care can administer medications.
The home health care being the skilled.
Skilled, but
yes.
home care can only remind.
That's right.
Okay. Help with activities of daily living, both. Can help with that.
Okay. Uh-huh. Mostly instructional for the skilled end.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And then specialized services such as rehab, that happens in home health, the skilled side.
Yes.
But in the non-skilled side, they can remind people to do their exercises and be taught how to do exercises.
Exactly.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Transportation, does that happen in skilled?
That does not happen in skilled, but it does happen in the non-skilled
okay.
venue.
And then payment options. Traditionally, typically, you would find Medicare, Medicaid, private insurances on the skilled side.
Mm-hmm.
The non-skilled side, maybe Medicaid, mm-hmm. long-term care insurance, private pay, and then some of those ancillary ones you'd mentioned
exactly.
before. Okay, mm-hmm. I think I've got it.
All right. Thank you, Nicole.
All right. Thank you for joining Krista Flair, RN and Certified Senior Advisor from Home Watch Caregivers, as we discuss the differences between home health and home care on 1360 WCHL. And as always, you may email your caregiving issues to caring@1360wchl.com. Thank you.
The purpose of Caring Connections is to educate listeners to help improve the quality of life for families, for professional caregivers, as well as for those people afflicted with Alzheimer's disease.
Caring Connections with Nicole Bruno is supported by HomeWatch Caregivers and can be heard Saturdays at 10 a.m. Email questions to caring@1360wchl.com. Caring Connections is a presentation of News Talk 1360 WCHL. 1360 WCHL wants to connect with you online for updates on our lifestyle programs, awesome giveaways, contests, trivia, community photos, breaking news, and more. Follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/Chapelboro and become our fan on Facebook and always connect with us online at chapelboro.com.